Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
And yes, indeed, we are back. Another week, another spine-tingling, uncensored, unforgiven, uncolored edition of Tom on the Radio. I'm Tom O'Neill, and chomping at the bit to join in is the man who invented the $5 box lunch, Steve Baxley. How the heck are you, big guy?
Happy Labor Day, America.
Well, it was kind of on the laborious side on this end, but we wouldn't know it. So I'm thankful that we were able to connect on time and ready to go. There's not really that much happening, even though the day is Labor Day, and happy Labor Day for those of us who
have. Au contraire, my friend, we have breaking Canadian news.
Da, 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 da.
Just announced on the National with Peter Mansbridge by the man himself, Peter Mansbridge. He will be stepping down as anchor and chief correspondent of the CBC News program, The National, with Peter Mansbridge, on July 7th of 2017.
And for those who are not familiar, Peter Mansbridge in Canada is like Walter Cronkite in the United States, or maybe Dan Rather, or Peter Mansbridge's countryman, Peter Jennings, in this country. Peter Mansbridge is like the voice of Canadian news.
That's right, and his final broadcast will be on July 1st, 2017, after their coverage of Canada Day, their 150th birthday celebration. So to repeat once again, Peter Mansbridge announced on the CBC flagship newscast, The National, that he will step down on July 1st, 2017.
So we can kind of say, first it was Hockey Night in Canada, and now CBC is losing Peter Mansbridge. What the hell is going on here?
Yes, indeed, and oh boy, the now guessing game is just who are they going to have?
Probably somebody younger, better looking, model like young. Oh, did I say younger? Younger equates cheaper. Look at what happened at ABC.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not one of those, I am leaving and my last day is next Friday things.
True.
So at least he has a chance of a victory lap, and it's good to go out on your terms.
That's right. He goes out after next year. It will be his 30th year as anchor of The National.
Yeah, as I say, it's good to go out on your terms. I mean, it's nice that you won't have to worry about working for a paycheck for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Plus, we've got another little breaking news story that, well, is sort of a sad one. Chevy Chase announced that he is entering rehab.
Oh, my goodness.
Hillary Clinton promised a
Cleveland Labor Day rally. Yeah, comic legend Chevy Chase. I tell you. At least he is grown up enough to admit he has a problem and is willing to get it taken care of.
That is true. And that's your breaking news on a day that we celebrate the Day of Labor, otherwise known as a slow news day.
Yeah. And I thought my only piece of news was our girl Khloe Kardashian has balled up with another baller.
Oh, no.
Let's see. First it was Lamar Odom. Then it was James Harden. And now her latest shot caller is Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, let's see.
So,
Khloe dated Lamar, who was with the Lakers and is now falling apart at the seams. She dated James Harden while still married to Lamar Odom, even though they were separated, but she did sign papers. And now she's dating someone from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Who's not named LBJ.
That is right. But, oh, man, this spells doom for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, just like what happened with Tony Romo when he first started with the Dallas Cowboys. He was dating Jessica Simpson, and his play went south, and it hasn't come back north yet.
I just got this feeling that the Cleveland Cavaliers, that the gentleman that's dating Khloe Kardashian is going to literally fall apart at the seams. So, ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, will you please go to your knees tonight? And before you go to bed, please pray that this next victim, victim of the Khloe Kardashian curse.
You call it what it is.
I mean, my
gosh.
Call
it what it is.
Khloe
You talk about a stereotype. I mean, she's not into the nice guy. She's into the
money
rich,
guy.
Tall, well-endowed guys.
Yes, and let's put it this way. She is to romance what the Zika virus was to everyone in Rio de Janeiro. Wow. My God.
The Rock would call her a sick freak.
Oh, Lord. That has got to be something
played,
that
and if, he, played basketball, she'd be going after him, too.
Yep, and oh, man. Oh, We congratulate you on winning your first trophy, and we send you early condolences for being knocked out of the playoffs this year. Wow.
Are you saying that this woman is bad luck?
This woman? Bad luck?
I could say that spot over there, but I'm not.
Let's put it this way. Even the Zika
that's his problem. He put it this way.
Yeah, folks, I'm putting it this way. Even the Zika virus is afraid of her. I would ask what the hell she sees in these guys, but I think we already know that. It's a Kardashian curse. Go for the guy with the big wallet and the bigger wallet.
My mother like daughter, huh?
Yeah, James Harden right now is going, I dodged a bullet.
Yes, you did. Yes, he did. And apparently TMZ got pictures of the lovebirds, quote unquote, at a club in Cabo over the weekend.
Oy, oy, oy.
That's what he's, he'll be saying that in a few months. Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 ay.
You mean now for all the Cleveland Cavalier game, well, I don't know if she'll be going to Cleveland you know, for home games, but all those cameras are gonna be trained on her. Okay, can you imagine training a camera on Khloe Kardashian with a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey of Tristan Thompson? And Tristan Thompson has a bad game, and they point the camera at her again, and he's saying, well, the curse of Jessica Simpson strikes again.
Oh, boy. I mean, wow.
Well,
it was fun while it lasted.
Oh, yeah. Either that or Chloe finds some other sucks up person to get in with. But anyway, it's going to be a while before basketball season starts, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's just something to give fodder to the social media. I'm sure they're all a buzz, just like what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. And I told you this on your show last Friday. It's not the backlash that should be sad. The sad part is he is the number two quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers behind Blaine Gabbert.
Ouch.
What's up with that? I mean, that's the crime. That's the crime right there. This man, Colin Kaepernick, a few years ago was within one half away from giving the 49ers a Super Bowl title. And his career hasn't been the same since.
Agreed.
I mean, this man was all pro. At one time, he had the highest contract of anybody in the NFL. Now he just made it by the skin of his teeth onto the 49ers.
Yep.
It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. Did that game last Thursday in San Diego was his last chance? Because if he had sucked in that game, would they have caught him?
Oh. Indeed. I said this to our good friend, colleague, Jay the Brain Man. Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick said he was going to sit down during every national anthem. Well, he'll definitely be sitting down, all right.
With a clipboard.
That's right. Plotting where to send the next $1 million.
So, to me, that, if he was the number one quarterback of that team, and he was, you know, respected and all that, and he did what he did, I think he would have had more brownie points compared to what he's doing right now. Makes me think that. It makes me think that his intentions were not that genuine.
Well,
I mean, it's just the timing of it, the timing and the purpose. He wanted to get the most eyeballs on him. What better time to get eyeballs than right before the regular season starts, right before he was going to get cut? If he had done this earlier in the year, it would not have resonated as much as it is right now. That's just my opinion. I mean, everything. There is a cause and effect for everything. And yes, and I told you this on your show again, he has every right for free speech, but my feeling is if you're on an NFL team or any team, and you are the leader of that team, and your main aim is to win the championship, there is nothing that should stunt that thought. Nothing. If he was calling Kaepernick the private citizen, it would just be, you know, he's just protesting. No big deal. You know, we all have the right to do that. But because he is a quarterback for the most revered league in the world, he gets a platform.
Oh, yes. And I want to wish Blaine Gabbert good luck. He's going to need it.
And, of course, we know the number three quarterback on that team, if I think he's still on that team, is Samantha Ponder's other half, Kristen.
Ooh. That's going to be fun.
And Samantha Ponder is as fine as she wants to be. I mean, not only does she do BattleBots, but she's on the number one broadcast team at ESPN ABC. Matter of fact, she's on tonight, and she's looking good.
Speaking of which, I hope everybody enjoyed that Notre Dame game last night. Oh, yeah.
Well, your boys did it last night.
It was fabulous.
One thing that's going to happen is Charlie Strong will be off the hot seat for at least a year. That shows you how big that game was last night.
The team I would worry
about in Texas is not necessarily Texas. It's the University of Houston.
Uh-huh.
That team is on a roll, and they have a coach that's going to get top dibs on any and every head coaching job vacancy after this season.
That's right.
The only way the University of Houston was going to keep this guy, Coach Tom, is that the Cougars get into the Big 12 and with the Bucks to go with it. And there's a very good chance it's going to happen.
I got to agree with you. Speaking of which, here are the ratings. The game averaged a TV audience of 10.9 million viewers and a total of 786,000 unique viewers online. So combining the TV and online audience, the game averaged an 11.1 million viewers.
And for a cable outlet like ESPN, that is excellent.
Yeah, not only was it big.
Oh, I thought it was on ABC. It was on ABC. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I take that back. It was on ABC. It was still excellent.
Yeah, we could say both. But wow. That is huge.
Huge. So what was the rating again?
Let's see. Rain again. The average of 10.9 million viewers. Total of 786,000.
Oh yeah.
And 11.1 million viewers, the most watched college football game of the weekend, and it better be the match of the decade as far as I'm concerned. That was, let's see what it says here. That was the second highest opening weekend game for the collective, as I like to call it, in the last 11 years.
My goodness. I mean,
it was wildly
what was the cause of it? It's not necessarily the matchup per se, but Notre Dame always draws a big audience. But Texas did its part.
Texas went bananas. I mean, when you go up against touchdown Jesus, Notre Dame, you look at them as the elite team. But now, with this upset against the Texas upset against Notre Dame, that elite crown that Notre Dame has been wearing is starting to show a little tarnish. And next Saturday, it's the big one if you happen to be a Notre Dame or a Michigan State Spartan fan, because it's MSU versus Notre Dame the 17th on the Big Rock Candy Mountain NBC.
That's Mike Tirico's debut as the TV voice of Notre Dame football on NBC. I'm sure that if he had known a few months ago that this was as best he's going to do when he changed networks, I think he would have stayed at ESPN. Which makes me think that it was not all his choice for him to leave ESPN.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because you said this, that the original plan was to put Mike Tirico on Thursday night football games on NBC. But wasn't there some snafu that caused him not to partake in these games?
I do believe so. And if I'm not mistaken, they're called the Olympics.
Okay. I find that very interesting that he was on ESPN 1 week, and 2 weeks later he was on NBC.
Yeah. Talk about shocking.
Yeah. Or either that, Al Michaels say, wait a minute, he's cutting into my airtime.
Right. I think there was a little collusion between network and the NFL.
Well, the NFL didn't want Tirico. He did Monday Night Football for years.
That's right, but as we all know, the NFL picks the announcers, and in their little blurb, they say that they want their marquee announcers to do Thursday Night Football. Example, of course, being Boomer Esiason and Jim Nantz doing for CBS. So in NBC's case, it had to be Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth.
They don't consider Mike Tirico top shelf? My goodness.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He was top shelf on ESPN for a long time.
Indeed.
Well, I guess what the NFL wants, the NFL gets.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Everyone, please genuflect in front of the man named Goodell.
Yeah, all $44 million of him were.
Yes, yes, Mr. Goodell. We love what you're doing to the league, even though you're screwing it up constantly with the rules.
Where's your ring so I can kiss it?
Ain't no ring. Let's put it this way. If I have to kiss something, ain't no ring. missing it, I'll be kicking it.
Oh! Oh, man. It's hard to believe, Steve, from this point forward, every Monday night there will be football until the end of the year.
That is true. That is true.
So,
football is back.
So, yep, and not a moment too soon. It starts with a doubleheader next Monday night. First game will be the Steelers and the Redskins, and then it'll be the L.A. That just sounds so sweet, doesn't it? The L.A. Rams and the 49ers.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it does.
I was about to say the balance is back in the world.
Yes, all is right with the world. The NFL is back this Thursday with the first rematch for an opening game ever played in the NFL of a Super Bowl. And if John Elway was 20 years younger, he would be starting for the Denver Broncos.
I can't wait for that game. I cannot.
And next Thursday after this one, will be the first Thursday night game on CBS, and it will be a grudge match between the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills.
Just
I mean, what's the chuckle about? They can't stand each other.
This is true, but I have a feeling CBS is going, please no blowout, please no blowout, please go, But unfortunately, go ahead.
But it's in Buffalo, so it's going to be. It's going to be very lively because there aren't that many times the Bills come on national television. Yeah, alone at home. Yeah, alone on a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
Meanly cold and snowy in Buffalo later on in the year.
That's right. Let's remember, folks, this game will be a blowout after three quarters.
Who's doing the blowing out, the Jets or the Bills?
I think the Jets are going to win. Third quarter score will be 502 to the second power to the Buffalo Bills 3.
Oh, boy. But it's going to be another very interesting game. This coming Sunday will be the Browns at the Eagles. And for two quarterback reasons, it's going to be very interesting. RG3 will start for the Browns. And it was announced today that Carson Wentz, the rookie from North Dakota State University, will get the starting nod for the Eagles.
Oh, yes.
I can tell you're excited.
I am excited as I could be, because all this football talk reminds me that it's another season of my mom and I predicting football games.
Well, they're better. They're not much better things to do than a son and a mom doing mutually satisfying things.
Yeah, especially when she's beaten me 15 out of the 16 times, and my biggest embarrassment God rest her soul, my dog.
Now that's unacceptable, Steve. You should know better. You're gonna have to research harder. Mm-hmm. We can't have that this year.
This He's through.
That is unless you let her beat you.
No, she is, I mean, she is good at predicting these games. I will give her that. She don't go for the, you know, point spread. She just picks. And then, I mean, once, I think 2 years ago, she went 4 weeks at 10 and 6, I do believe, yeah. She had 10
with
wins.
With no particular formula.
No formula. I just give her the names of the teams and their win-loss, and she just, bam.
And she enjoys beating you every year. You like say,
yes,
okay.
She does. Yes, she does. And speaking of being beaten, how about them Tigers coming back?
I tell you, they're looking pretty. Well, I'm not. They're not in yet. They're not in. They're close, but they're not in. But they're gonna have the games for the rest of the month to make up some space, whether it be the division race or the wild card race. Their best chances with the wild card, but seems like every time the Tigers win, the Tribe wins.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for Boston to croak.
I don't think they are. I really don't think the Red Sox, I mean, you can wish that they croak.
Just a moment. I misspoke. It's not Boston I want to see croak. It's Baltimore I want to see croak.
Well,
and
you
choke.
You may have your wish there, even though the Orioles has a murderous row in terms of bats and scoring runs. Their pitching is what their Achilles heel is.
But, man, Detroit's got to be in paradise the way the Tigers have been playing.
Yeah. How do you think Mr. Brad Ausmus feels right now? He's operating from a pillar of strength because if he doesn't get renewed for next year, there's going to be some teams that would want to talk to Mr. Ausmus. All on the fact that he has not let this team fold it.
This is true. And the surprise, and I think you'll agree with this, my friend, the surprise, Justin Upton, twice, has saved the Tigers. Twice.
And our slugger is like killing it. I mean,
that's right. And the pitching is coming alive again.
Oh, and that other Justin is reeking back from the Cy Young year.
Ah, yes.
But it's good to. I mean. It's good and it's not so good. It's good that the team is still in contention, but it's not so good when the closest contention they're going to get is a second wild card.
Yeah, I will agree with that, but the way Cleveland's been playing, they're like the Cubs. How are you going to catch up to two teams who have one thing in common? They both have a fan base that is hungry for a World Series crown.
Yeah. Cleveland is a very underrated baseball town, but judging from the last time they were in the World Series, that town supports that team.
Oh, yes.
And it would be a bonus if the Browns may not make the playoffs, but if they even get to .500, that's like a playoff win.
That is true.
So, yeah, I think the Browns are going to surprise some people. I mean, that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out AFC North Division this year. That's going to be a knockdown, drag-out. All four of the teams don't like each other. All four are kind of have the same talent level, yet I think the Ravens are going to have a tougher year than the other three. But that's the one thing the NFL sells better than any other sport in the world, and that's parity. It's like there are no dynasties. I mean, any team that sucked last year can be in the playoffs the next year.
Oh, yes. And when that happens, the God, boys and girls.
Yeah, if that happens, Steve, better get my plane ticket for Detroit, because as I said to you previously, if the Lions win the Super Bowl, I didn't say if they make it to the Super Bowl, but if they win, I will be making a trip to Detroit to meet you finally and to watch the parade.
I will be there, hell or high water.
Well, they got to have a parade first there, Steve. Don't get them all excited. But I'm just saying that if you're going to compete, you might as well go for it all. I mean, what's the point in competing and you're just going to say, well, we're going to go 8-8. 6-10 season would be fine. No. I mean, right now, 3 days before the NFL season starts, everybody is 0-0.
That's right.
So there is hope. Even for the lowly Cleveland Browns, well, I don't think they're going to be lowly this year. I think they're going to have some success. But then again, that's not saying too much for that team lately. So with our last few minutes, Steve, and thank you again for being my most excellent Blog Talk Radio wingman. They're trying to create a lot of controversy in the WWE these days. I mean, with Triple H coming in last Monday and interfering in a no disqualification match that gave Kevin Steen or Owens the Universal title. They're trying to get some heat between Stephanie and Mick Foley. They're just trying to literally stir the pot.
Yeah, I mean, tonight's show was, I mean, the first hour was okay. Then somebody must have told the writers, hey, you guys do a 3-hour show. Because the last 2 hours,
So what you're saying? So what you're saying is, if it was an hour show, it would get it would get 10 stars from you.
I will do the 10-star bing bing for the first hour, but for the second and third hour, 4.5.
Yeah. The only thing that got me the last 2 hours was Sasha Banks' quote-unquote announcement, which wasn't really an announcement at all, turned out. But it just shows you how the WWE is using social media as a way to get eyeballs onto their television platforms.
Yep, and they used to show the tweets from the fans. I guess they found out most fans rather want to see wrestling.
And as Bill Gordon solely once said, rest his soul, is it wrestling on the marquee?
Yep.
There's not really that much wrestling going on. All it is just set up and teasers and not pleasers and a snore fest. Okay, how would you? I couldn't see myself going to like a Monday Night Raw live at the arena. I mean, all those stops and delays and commercial breaks and I mean, it takes away a lot of the momentum in the ring that was built up.
Indeed, I mean, they got 3 hours and most of it, well, let's face it, it's like 3-4 matches and the rest is pure crap.
Yeah. That's what it is. Pure crap. But the thing is, that's what they want. That's what they want. They figured that to get people to stay involved in a 3-hour broadcast on Raw or 2 hours on SmackDown, you got to fill it with what they want. That so they think what they want.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, that's a good point that you mentioned about how untuned the WWE is to the fans, because a lot of these tweets they read is among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they ignore the fans, but, you know, eventually the fans will ignore them.
And they'll be going to Lucha Underground or, dare I say, where Cody where Cody Rhodes is going, TNA and Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Cody Rhodes, you notice that his wife is not at the ringside anymore?
Yeah. I think
she's writing a book?
I think she's supposedly writing a book from what I read in the on the interwebs.
Do you believe that?
Not really, but it sort of proves one thing. The best writing you can find on the internet.
I tell you, I mean, it won't really matter because next week, because Raw is going to have to compete with Monday Night Football every week, but, which is not much of a competition.
True.
Yeah, so we have a pay-per-view coming up, Backlash, I think it's called. And then 2 weeks after that, you have Clash of Champions. I was going to say Clash of Titans, but I got thinking of Titus O'Neil, but my long-lost cousin from my long-lost cousin from a different mother. Yeah, they're already setting up matches for Clash of Champions even before they do Backlash. That's not a good sign.
Oh, no. No, and if they're going to do Clash of Champions, oy vey. I just see failure.
Yeah, to have two pay-per-views within a month of each other, it's kind of like trying to milk a cow dry. You know, you're already having problems with one pay-per-view. Now you're going to already set up for a subsequent pay-per-view even before this one is done. Hello?
Hello, remember WCW?
Yes, that led to their demise. And speaking of demise, I see by the clock on the wall that our uncut, unfiltered, and I will dare say unplanned Tom on the Radio show has come to an end. And once again, it was truly one of a kind. Let's say it like that.